Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mind Gravity Podcast. I'm your host, Rohan Handa. This episode is part of the Mind Gravity Podcast's Weekend Food for Thought series. Here, I will talk about a subject of interest that allows us to shift our minds to reflect on things that are larger than just our day-to-day and our busy work life. It provides a pause for our minds to think outside our proverbial box. And on today's show, we're going to talk about time and how it helps transform our experiences. One of the most common descriptions of any optimal experience is that time no longer seems to pass the way it ordinarily does. Isn't it funny that when we have a lot of time, we don't know what to do with it? And when we don't, we crave for more. The objective external duration we measure with reference to outside events like night and day or the orderly progression of clocks is rendered irrelevant by the rhythms dictated by the activity that you are in. Oftentimes, hours seem to pass by in minutes in seconds. In general, most people report that time seems to pass much faster than they realize. But occasionally, the reverse happens. For instance, ballet dancers describe how a difficult turn that typically takes less than a second in real time stretches out for what seems like minutes. The amount of concentration, the amount of energy that's required to complete that move is quite large, and to the common eye, it's just absolute time. But for the ballet dancer who's performing, time is very relative and almost ceases to exist for all we understand. So when it should take less than a second in real time, it stretches out for what seems like minutes. Two things are happening, right? One is that it seems to pass really fast in one sense, that is to the observer. But after it's passed, it seems to have passed really fast. For instance, many a times you must have noticed yourself saying, oh, I see it's 1 a.m. And then I say, just a few minutes ago, it was 8 p.m. Where did this time go? But for a ballet dancer, while I'm dancing, it seems like it's been much longer than maybe it really was. I guess in this scenario, the safest generalization to make about this phenomena is to say that during the flow experience, the sense of time bears little to no relation to the passage of time as measured by the absolute convention of the clock. And I have experienced that myself while climbing mountains or going on very difficult, strenuous hikes. The climb is always uphill, and you typically start very early in the day to cover anywhere from 6 to 7 miles of uphill climb. And before you know, you've already walked and hiked for over 8 hours and still a mile away from the destination for that day. But you don't realize because you're so engrossed in that moment that time ceases to exist. But here too, there are exceptions that prove the rule. For instance, right? For an outstanding open heart surgeon who derives a deep enjoyment from this work is well known for his ability or her ability to tell the exact time during an operation with only half a minute margin of error without consulting a watch. And that is fascinating. But in this case, timing is one of the essential challenges of the job, since he's called only to do a very small but extremely difficult part of the operation. He's usually involved in several operations simultaneously and has to walk from one case to the next and to the next, making sure that he's not holding up his colleagues responsible for the preliminary phases. It's like clockwork. Your mind, your body, and the actual clock needs to be in absolute sync. And that is probably the toughest thing to master as a surgeon. A similar skill is often found among practitioners of other activities where time is of the essence. what comes to your mind? Think of runners or racers. At that point, it's not about the distance that they need to run. It's about how fast they can run it to beat their competition. In order to pace themselves precisely in a competition, they have to be very sensitive to the passage of seconds and minutes and almost in constant sync with it without ever having a watch to look at. In such cases, the ability to keep track of time becomes one of the quintessential skills to do well in the activity. And thus, it contributes to rather than detracts from the enjoyment of that particular experience. Ever wonder why a kid enjoys a sporting activity more so than anything else? Whether it be playing video games or playing outside or playing some sort of sport? For precisely the reason. There's no sense of time. There's just pure enjoyment. But most flow activities do not depend on clock time, right? Like baseball, they have their own pace, their own sequences of events, marking transitions from one state to another, without regard to equal intervals of duration, or American football, or cricket. It is not clear whether this dimension of flow is just an epiphenomena, that is, a byproduct of the intense concentration required for the activity at hand, or whether it is something that contributes in its own right to the positive quality of that particular experience. Although it seems likely that losing track of the clock is not one of the major elements of enjoyment. Freedom, on the other hand, from the tyranny of time does add to the exhilaration we feel during a state of complete involvement. So why not take some time this weekend to think about the activities that puts you in that state of enjoyment, where you forget the essence of time, where you stop checking what time is it. Hopefully, that will bring you into a state. Hopefully, once you realize what those activities are, you would want to master it, and perhaps even do them more often than you currently do. So I urge you all to take some time this weekend and in coming weeks to identify what are some of those activities that puts you in that state of complete enjoyment and fulfillment, where time is not a dimension that you try to keep track of. Namaste.